Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.
I will say to you in this very moment, it's as if I've never stood before God's people. As Brother Sonny said, I've been speaking for a long time, and traveled to many churches and filled in for a lot of brethren. But I do want to know what God's will is.
Amen.
I first want to say I appreciate Harmony Church and your pastor and your associate pastor for receiving Pam and I into this home. When I've spoken here in the past, I've told you before, it's like our home away from home. It's where I was baptized, and it's where I first learned the truths. Or began to learn the truths of God's written word. Forgive me if I'm a little emotional. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, because the carnal mind, he goes on, this is the Apostle Paul in Romans 8. It should be a very familiar text to you. Romans 8, 6, 7, and 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Wow. We're in trouble, aren't we? So then they that are in the flesh. Well, I'm in the flesh. I'm standing here, living, breathing. I'm in the flesh. We have to look at this. The reason this is on my mind, I think that a lot of us need to understand more about our two natures.
That's right.
Every child of God that has been born again, regenerated, has two natures.
Right. That's right.
That begotten of a fallen man, Adam, carnal, and that is born of God. The reason I think sometimes when I'm not as spiritual as I ought to be is because I've forgotten that I have two natures about me. I think that we as children of God, heirs of promise, those that have been born again, it's imperative that we recognize the enemy within.
That's right.
Did you hear what I said?
That's right.
Boy, that's a sobering thought, isn't it? The enemy within. It's not as if you're two different people. You have an enemy within yourself that can do no good. Your carnal nature cannot do any good. How dangerous is it if, for instance, we didn't recognize the enemy within? Take it in a natural sense. The invasion of this country by an enemy, and we never recognized it. Should be a sobering thought, because I think we are being invaded, by the way. The old nature is that which is begotten of the flesh. Here's some names it'll go by in Scripture. The flesh, the old man, the natural man, the carnal mind. Those are references in Scripture about the old nature. And by the way, when you're reading those things in the New Testament, who are those things written to?
That's right.
Regenerate people. It's not written to the unregenerate. Paul writes those things. Peter writes those things. All those apostles, the whole New Testament is replete with encouragement to feed the new man, as it were.
That's right.
And to put off, to mortify the deeds of the old man.
Amen.
Kind of getting ahead of myself here, but I want to go over here to Romans 7. Very familiar, the conflict that Paul has, but I want this verse, before he really gets into the conflict, he makes this statement. So if you're thinking that, well, I'm a born-again child of God, I can control that. Let me back up. Here's a misconception that we have. We have this misconception, a lot of Christians do, and I'll get to the reason why they do in a minute. We have this misconception that we can make the old man better. You can't make the old man better. It will never get any better. And Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." He is referring to that part of him that is carnal, that part of him that was begotten of Adam, the inherited sinful nature that we all have. By the way, well, I'll say it now. By the way, the unregenerate have but one nature. And it's bad. They may do some good things. You may see them do something that appears to be good. But they're bad. Paul says in Romans 7, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." This is a regenerated, heir of promise, child of God. The Apostle Paul just made that statement. So we can be confused about this, can't we? Here's why. Did y'all know that there is a doctrine being taught in the Christian faith? There's a doctrine being taught that once born again, the old nature is eradicated. It's being taught. They believe that once generation occurs, the old nature is eradicated or that it no longer exists. Well, I got news for you. We're going to have this conflict, as Paul goes on to talk about here in Romans 7. The conflict that he has as a born-again child of God. We're going to have this conflict as long as we're in this life. As long as we're in this earthly tabernacle. We're going to have this conflict.
That's right. Amen.
But there is this false doctrine that's being taught. Here's the first problem with that. If it were true, then once you were born again, you would never sin again.
That's right.
Do you see the fallacy in that? But that is being taught, y'all. That once born again. So, you got to come to one of two conclusions. You either never were a child of God, or there is no such thing as the eradication of the old nature after regeneration. That's the only two conclusions you can come up with. John says it this way: if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So those who would claim that the old man is done away with after regeneration, well, let me back up a little bit and explain to you why they're able to teach this and get away with it. One thing they call regeneration is salvation. You've accepted. So they got off on the wrong foot to begin with, didn't they? But it's really being taught, the eradication of the old man. Wouldn't it be nice if it was, and we didn't have this conflict? Don't hurry up and say yeah, because if that happened, you still got Satan in this world dwelling, seeking about whom they would destroy. How long would it be before you sinned? Right? Let's say the old nature was eradicated when you were born again. How long would it be before you sinned? Because the devil has not been removed from this earth. Satan and his angels are at work every day. Guess who they play on? Guess who they talk to? That old man. Y'all remember the, and I should have called one of these brethren this morning and asked them if they could quote it, but all my life I heard from the pulpit talking about these two natures. It was always, not always, but generally brought up about the Indian chief. Y'all remember this story? How the I don't know if it was an Indian proverb or whatever, that they asked the chief, you got two dogs, a black one and a white one, and which one is stronger? And he makes, I don't remember exactly how it goes, but which one is stronger? It's whichever one you feed the most. I don't necessarily believe that. You know why? Because that implies that I can make the old man better. If I'm feeding him, I can make him better, right? I can't make the old man better. No matter my effort, I believe with all my heart, when we realize that we have these two natures and there's going to be this conflict, it will draw us closer to God. Why? Because we will feel our need of Him to fight off, put to death, mortify the old man. Because you know what? You can't do it on your own. You can't. Brother Dan made this statement this morning as we were talking, the statement is, any good thing done by anyone comes from God. It came from God. Remember what I said about the unregenerate? I said it may appear good to you. I didn't say it was good. It may appear good to you. You see, I have every reason to believe that there will be those who appear really bad will live in heaven. If I didn't believe that, and I say that, let me say it this way. Some point in their life, they will be born again, and they will bear the fruit of a born again person. It may be on their deathbed. But if I didn't see that person, all I ever saw was bad. See, I can't make the judgment who's born again and who's not.
Right.
Only God does that. You've heard this all your life too, I bet. or I did. But we can be fruit inspectors. Right? You can see what kind of fruit they bear. But even at that, you really can't make that determination yourself that that is a born-again child of God. We can be in fruit inspectors. And we see that often. We see people bear the fruit of a born-again child of God. I struggle, as Paul did, I don't know about you, with this conflict between the two natures. It's when we get to thinking that we don't have a conflict, that we're sinless, that we'll find ourselves in trouble. The sorrow that you and I have when we sin, if you're like me, makes me mourn when I sin against my God. And then turn around and not long, and I've done something again. It's a terrible conflict to have, isn't it? I want to tell you, there's coming a day when you won't have that conflict.
Amen.
But it won't happen on this earth. And we ought to be thankful. You know why? That's a sure sign that you're a born-again child of God. If you have this conflict, if you don't have this conflict, now you ought to be worried.
Right.
You hear what I said? If you don't have the conflict of dealing with old man, that carnal nature, that Adam nature, if you don't have that conflict, now you ought to be worried. Now, I'm not saying that. I don't believe anybody in here has this big, huge conflict that shows up out in the public. I'm talking about within. That's where the enemy is. Did you know even the thought of foolishness is a sin?
That's right.
So how do we reconcile this? As I said, I believe it's to draw us closer to God and feel our need of Him. When we experience this conflict, Paul says it like this: "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." That's the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
After his Damascus Road experience. After he saw things that none of the other apostles saw. Is that not amazing? He has this conflict. Knew more. Learned at the feet of Gamaliel, or however you say Gamaliel's name, and then learned Christianity by Christ Himself. Having that conflict. Now I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So now he's determined what it is. Notice he says, dwelleth in me. He's not making it some abstract other person. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after who? The inward man. That's who he delights in the law of God after. That carnal nature, that Adam nature, doesn't even want to hear about Jesus. Could care less. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Keeps bringing him back into captivity. This law of sin is in his members. He ain't getting rid of it. And then he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Look, I'm not telling you that you can't mortify the old man. I'm not telling you that, and I'm not giving you an excuse to sin. Paul wasn't giving us an excuse to sin when he explained this to us. I think what Paul is trying to do is to tell us we can't do this on our own. And then he goes on, by the way, for those, most of you Bible scholars knows that in the original text, there is no chapters, division here. Because the one thing that those that preach the eradication of the old man will tell you, well, y'all need to get out of chapter 7 and get into chapter 8. Because now we're in chapter 8 where there is now no condemnation. Paul, by the way, when he wrote this, what we know is chapter 7 and chapter 8 was at the same sitting in a prison. He didn't divide these up in chapters. He just went straight from, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That's condemnation for you now. Look, here's something we need to be thankful for. The old man is condemned. But you and I didn't do it.
Amen.
Jesus Christ did it while he hung on the cross.
Amen.
He took care of that old nature.
Amen.
So he says, "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do," here it is, "in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Well, thought you said we still have, we do still have it, and you will have it, that old nature, but it is condemned.
Amen.
And justly condemned. When we get to thinking we're all good, we can get ourselves in trouble. I've done it in the past. I'm a born again child of God. I'm good. You know what? There is a part of me, I pray, that is absolutely perfect, righteous, and holy. That's kind of a bold statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
But there is a part of me that is perfect, ready, willing, able to be with the Lord right now. But it's dwelling in this tabernacle of flesh.
Amen.
Combating that old nature, we hope. We hope we're combating it, right? Condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Aren't you thankful? We already know from the teachings here at this church over and over, and it can't be taught too much, that Christ paid the price. You could have never paid it. That the righteousness in the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Remember what I told you. This is written to heirs of promise, to children of God. So a child of God can mind the things of the flesh. Do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now we're right back to where I started with the verses 6, 7, and 8. You see, we're going to have a conflict. We're going to live with this conflict, I hope. I know we're going to live with it until we die. What I mean, I hope, is I hope we're having a conflict. Without a conflict, you need to be worried. It's true, y'all. I wrote this down. What about this conflict? It is true that no amount of effort will improve the old man. No amount of effort will improve the old man. But it is not true that there should be no strife between the old and new. There's going to be strife between the old and new. Let's go over here to Galatians real quick. The Apostle Paul, I know that Brother Dan one day will get over here to the fifth chapter. I'm estimating that he will, Lord willing. I'm looking forward to it. I want this one verse out of the fifth chapter. We'll give you two. No, take that back, three. 15, 16, 17. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other.
Amen.
So that you cannot do the things that you would. Didn't say you may not or would not. Did you see those words there? It says you cannot do the things that you would. And in and of yourself, you cannot. By the help of Almighty God, trusting and relying on Him, you can. And you can live in such a way that would glorify Him. And I believe with all my heart, every child of God, that new creature within every child of God, that is his utmost desire, is to please and serve God. Don't you? And when you realize that you have both natures, here's what happens to people. Think about this now with me. Here's what happens to people who don't know or don't understand the two natures of a born-again child of God. You have this born-again child of God, doesn't know. Never heard about the two natures. Or has heard about the two natures, but that the old nature was eradicated when they were born again. So you're fine, you're good to go. Goes out the door and sins. What kind of confusion is that? How confused is that little child of God that has sinned after being told you're nothing but good now because you've been born again? How confusing would that be to a child of God? Or how confusing would it be to the loved one to seek to have that belief that the old man was eradicated at the new birth, to see one of their children who's been baptized and goes to church and shows the fruits of a born-again child, to see that child do something absolutely horrendous. How confused would that person be? You see, we got to understand that we have an enemy within. Within your very being. Here's the good news. The old nature will come to an end, but only when our earthly house is dissolved. Or, in other words, in Thessalonians, it's put like this: we are changed and caught up in the air to meet the Lord. Old man doesn't exist anymore. And I say, good riddance.
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen.
I get tired of the conflict. But I think I've changed my mind on saying I wish I'd never had it.
Amen. That's right.
If I get so tired of the conflict and wish that I'd never, that I don't have it, then I've lost sight of who my God is. I think when we understand our natures, we get a little closer to God and we understand a little more about God.
Amen.
And what Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is here to do for us.
Amen.
If we would but ask. I thank you for your kind attention. May God add His blessings to it.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.